Translation. He tries to taste his own sweetness, but he cannot do so without accepting the emotions of a devotee. Please repeat. He tries to taste his own sweetness, but he cannot do so without accepting the emotions of a devotee. Purport by Swami Srila Prabhupada. Lord Sri Krishna wanted to relish the transcendental mellow of a devotee, and therefore he accepted the role of a devotee by appearing as Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. End of purport. I got a phone call last night. Vishwambar asked me to give class, so maybe it's because the purport was so short. I don't know. Anyway, so I tried to prepare something last night, but I'm not sure what will come out. Please excuse my deficiencies on this. Not a lot to go on, but actually there is a lot to go on. Chaitanya Charitamrita, every syllable so full of meaning. So this chapter is all about Advaitacharya. I noticed something about this chapter and the previous chapter. Although they begin by discussing other topics, they always end up discussing the sweetness of Krishna. Now, chapter 4 is all about the sweetness of Krishna, or the internal reasons for the Lord's descent. Then chapter 5 is about Lord Nityananda. And after explaining a pastime about the dangers of offending Lord Nityananda, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami brings it back to Radha Krishna. He explains how Lord Nityananda is the medium, and it's through Lord Nityananda that we obtain Radha Krishna. So he discusses the sweetness of Radha Krishna. So the same has happened in this chapter. We're discussing Advaitacharya. Now, why is he called Acharya? What is the reason for his being called Acharya? He sets an example, yes. He's a great devotee of the Lord. Acharyam Bhakta Bhakti Shankshanat. The explanation of the term Acharya is because he spreads devotional service. This is the duty of the Acharya. And Advaitam Harinadvaitad. He's called Advaita because he's non-different from Lord Krishna. But as this non-difference is a Chinchabeda Beda. He's also different. Because if he was totally non-different from Krishna, then he wouldn't be a devotee of Krishna. There must be two separate personalities in order for there to be devotional service. So this chapter discusses the devotional mood of Advaitacharya and of all the other avatars of Krishna. So it's explained with the term Bhakta Bhav. Shri Shri Radha Gokulananda Ki Jai. The term Bhakta Bhav is in today's verse, and it was also in the previous verses that I read, Bhakta Bhav. So Balaram, Lakshman, Advaita, Nityananda, Shesha, and Sankarshan, they're all devotees of Krishna. And that is given by this term Bhakta Bhav. Therefore, an explanation as to why this is given, and it's due to the sweetness. When one serves Krishna, then one can taste sweetness. If one does not serve Krishna, then one does not taste that sweetness. Therefore it said, Krishnera samata hoiti bada bhakta pad. The position of devotee is higher even than equality with Krishna. An amazing statement. Why? Because we're infinitesimal jivas, we're nothing. But we can have devotional service, which makes our position appear to be greater than Krishna. Now, from the point of view of tasting, it is better to be a devotee than to be equal to Krishna, because through service, one can enter into the sweetness of a relationship with Krishna, which one will not gain by having equality with Krishna. But there's another reason why the position of devotee is considered higher, and it's given in this chapter, and that is because Krishna regards his devotee as more dear than him, than his very self. So in this chapter, there's a verse quoted from Srimad Bhagavatam. It's about Uddhava, Krishna speaking to Uddhava. Nata tame priyatama, atma yonir na shankara, nas cha sankarshino na shrir, naivatma cha yatabhavan. Krishna tells Uddhava, Lord Brahma is not as dear to me as you are. Lord Shiva is not as dear. Lord Shankarshan is not as dear. Shri, the goddess of fortune, is not as dear to me as you. Not even my very self. Naivatma cha yata bhavan. So Krishna is saying that not even my very self is as dear to me as you are. This is the potency of devotional service. Or as Bhakti Rasamrita Swami was explaining, it is Shri Krishna Akarshani. It attracts even Lord Shri Krishna. Therefore, our endeavor should be wholly and solely to develop devotional service. I was recently reading the fifth canto. There's a description of the prayers of the residents of Jambudvip. So in that section, there's a description of how the demigods, they are lamenting that they have taken birth on the heavenly planets. They desire to take birth in Bharatvarsha and take part in the Sankirtan movement. So they understand the supreme position of human birth in Bharatvarsha. Now we have that opportunity. So what is our mentality? We are aspiring for enjoyment. We would like to go to the heavenly planet. So if you have this attitude, if you're Kama, Mishra, Bhakta, then this is the height of foolishness. So we should be very sober and realize the great opportunity we have, that actually we are perfectly situated. The heavenly planets, there's too much enjoyment for devotional service. And in the hellish planets, there's too much suffering to concentrate on Krishna. But in this planet, everything is nicely balanced. We have sufficient suffering, but not too much. Therefore, we're constantly reminded about how we should be trying to find a better situation through the practice of devotional service. So the message is that we should be very sober, like the Goswamis. It's explained that Raghunath Das Goswami, his opulence was equal to Lord Indra, and his wife was equal to an apsara in beauty. And yet his family, his father, was unable to keep him in that situation. He kept running away. He's described as being premati pagala. He's mad from prema. After seeing Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he exhibited prema. And in that state, that maddened state, he was trying at every possible opportunity to run away from his wonderful material position. So if you compare his material position to our material position, and there's no comparison, Manda Sumanda Matayor, Manda Bhagya Yupadruta. In Kali Yuga, we're very unfortunate. We're lazy, we're misguided, we're unlucky, we're disturbed. So we have nothing. But yet we are still mad after sense gratification. And due to that, we become negligent in devotional service. So we should remember that we're in a position that is greater than the demigods. They aspire to take birth and do devotional service on this planet. And the devotional service we have, it's not ordinary. It is Raga Marg Bhakti Loki Korate Prachar. Krishna came to give the Raga Marg. He gave the devotional service, which is not enfeebled by rules and regulations. Vidhi Bhakti Braj Bhav Paiti Nahi Shakti. The Vidhi Bhakti, the devotional service which is performed according to rules and regulations, does not have the potency to take us to Vrindavan. So Krishna is given the Raga Marg. And then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he then makes it even easier. Patra Patra Vichari Nahi Nahi Stana Stana. There is no question of who is eligible and who is not eligible to perform devotional service. So it's all very, very easy. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has made it very easy. And today's purport is explaining how, in order to taste his own sweetness, he accepts the emotion of a devotee. So this is a very deep topic, and it was discussed in chapter 4. So we'll give a recap of some of the points made in chapter 4. There's also a famous statement, Apani Karimu Bhakta Bhava Angikari Apaniachari Bhakti Shikaimu Sabari. And in order to taste devotional service, or to take, in order to teach devotional service and to taste it, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has appeared. He takes the mood, Bhakta Bhava Angikara. Bhakta Bhava, the term Bhakta Bhava appears again. He comes to accept the mood of the devotee. And by accepting it and by practicing as a devotee, Shikaimu Sabari, he teaches everyone. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the Shiksha Guru of the entire world. He's teaching, he's made it easier than what Lord Krishna made it. Lord Krishna demanded Sarva Dharmam Parichaja, first you surrender to me. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has not even done that. And the perfect example, Jagai and Madai, that even though they were so sinful, still Lord Nityananda went and gave them the opportunity. All they had to do was surrender at his feet. There was no preliminary qualification, and all the sins would be ignored. This is the magnanimity of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So the point being made in today's verse is that one cannot taste the sweetness without accepting the emotions of a devotee. So in this connection, there's a nice statement from the fourth chapter, and it's from Lalita Madhava by Rupa Goswami. Aparikalita purva kash chamatkarakori spurati mama gariyan esha madurya puraha ayammaham apihanta prekshayam lupta chetaha sarabhasam upaboktum kamaye radikeva. One who manifests an abundance of sweetness, who manifests an abundance of sweetness greater than mine, which has never been experienced before and which causes wonder to all. Alas, I myself, my mind bewildered upon seeing this beauty, impetuously desire to enjoy it like Srimati Radharani. So this is a statement spoken by Lord Sri Krishna, and the circumstances behind it are he was in Dwarkapuri and he saw his own reflection in a jeweled fountain. And when he saw his own self, he became disturbed. Now the next verse is interesting as well, I'll read it too. Krishna madhuryera eka svabha vikabala Krishna adi nara nari koraye chanchala. The beauty of Krishna has won natural strength. It thrills the hearts of all men and women, beginning with Lord Krishna himself. So it's clearly explained that the potency of Krishna's beauty will bewilder everyone. And the term used is chanchala, which means one becomes perturbed. Here it's written as perturbed. So everyone, not just the ladies, but the men, and even Krishna himself, he becomes perturbed when he sees his own beauty. So Krishna has this quality. His beauty is even more powerful than his own mental equilibrium. And this is wonderful. This is not a fault on the part of Krishna. Krishna is full of mutually contradictory qualities. It's agata gatana patiyasha shakti. He has the potency by which inconceivable contradictory characteristics can exist within him simultaneously. So an example given here, in one sense he is Atmarama, he's perfectly self-satisfied, and he's perfectly equipoised, he's Tira. And yet, when he sees his own reflection, he becomes disturbed. So this is a contradiction. In the Bhagavad Sandarbha, there's another contradiction. One is, it's a contradiction between Krishna's merciful and he's independent. Now think about that. What does that mean? I'll let you think about it. What does it mean? Where is the contradiction there? How does Krishna's independence contradict with his mercy? Any ideas? Yes. 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 Aham bhakcha paradhina yasvatantra eva dvija sadubir grasta ridayo bhaktayar bhaktajana priya. Krishna says, I am subservient to my devotees. They have captured my heart, grasta ridaya. What to speak of my devotees? The devotees of my devotees are very dear to me. And in this section, which has been discussed several times, the last time I gave a Bhagavatam class, I was talking about this section. And then Ananda Chaitanya, he then discussed it when he gave a class. And then Bhakti Rasa Rudra Swami discussed it as well. Because this section of the Bhagavatam shows how Lord Narayan is subservient to his devotees. Vashi kurvanti mambakcha satstriya satpatimyata. Just as the chaste wife brings her gentle husband under control, in the same way, the devotees of Krishna bring him under control by their devotion. So going back to the Sandarbha, so the contradiction is this, that the Lord descends to deliver his devotees. That's his mercy. That seems to contradict his independence. Because if he's independent, he doesn't need to do anything. He doesn't need to come down. So that is not a fault. You see, the Lord's mercy is a good quality. And it doesn't conflict with his independence, although it appears to do so from our limited perspective. We think, well, because he's merciful, he just has to run around saving everyone and he has no independence. But that's not the case. He's simultaneously independent and he is merciful. Other examples of the contradictory qualities. He is simultaneously personal and impersonal. His effulgence is none different from him, the Brahma Jyoti. That is Krishna, and that is impersonal. So he's simultaneously a person and not a person. Other examples. He is Atmarama and he is Pararama. Atmarama means he's self-satisfied. And Pararama means he takes satisfaction through enjoyment with others. The Rasa Dance is the example of this. Bhagavan api taratrih. Although he is Bhagavan, still Yoga Maya Upashritaha. He comes and takes, through the shelter of Yoga Maya, he enjoys the Rasa Lila. It's Viksha Rantum Manas Chakre. Seeing the beautiful situation, Sharat Utpula Malaka, seeing that it was the Sharat season, the full moon, the Malaka flowers were creating a lovely fragrance in the forest, then Viksha Rantum Manas Chakre. In his mind, he desired to enjoy. So then one thinks, well, how is this possible? And it is, it's very clearly stated. He desired, because there is a bogus philosophy that Krishna didn't desire to enjoy with the gopis. He did it purely for their satisfaction. And he, as Atmarama, did nothing at all. But this is defeated by the term Viksha Rantum Manas Chakri. Is within his mind, Rantum, the desire came. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur discusses this contradiction, how the Lord is Atmarama, but he's also Pararama. And he explains that in a barometer, now I don't know if Bhaktivinoda Thakur uses the term barometer, but it's translated as this in the Chaitanya Shikshamrita. He describes, if you look at the barometer of rasa, then Atmaram is at the bottom and the Parakya Bhav is at the very top. So you can imagine all the other bhavs in between. Shanta, Dasya, Sakya, Vatsalya. Then we have Madhurya Ras, which has so many gradations. The topmost being Parakya Bhav, the rasa between Krishna and the gopis. Then this is the highest rasa. So therefore the two, seem described, the two exist simultaneously within the Lord. It's not that. And we notice this in the Rasa Lila, because he's able, just like that, to leave the rasa arena. And just like that, he can leave Srimati Radharani. He has that potency to become detached. But at the same time, he prefers to enjoy with his devotees. So that's another instance of the contradictory characteristics of the Lord. And there are so many in the Charyas in different places, they give examples. Another example, that he's fearless, and yet he is afraid of Mother Yashoda. This is also the contradiction. Or another one, that he is para Brahma and yet he's a cowherd boy. Doesn't make sense. He is localized and he is all pervading. In so many ways, Krishna is inconceivable. Therefore, we should try to conceive of his inconceivability. And by reading the scriptures through the potency of the words themselves, then the inconceivableness will be knowable to us, because there's actually a difference between the term inconceivable and unknowable. There's a Shakti called the Achincha Shakti of the Lord. So if the Lord wants, he can reveal, he can give us realization of his inconceivability. So unknowable and inconceivable are two different concepts. We can know of the inconceivable of Krishna if he so chooses. But if he doesn't choose, we can't know it otherwise, because we're stuck in the realm of tarka, in the realm of logic, where we try and analyze through logic. But through logic, you cannot understand the inconceivability of Krishna. Only when he chooses, he can bless the devotee to understand that inconceivability. Therefore, achincha bheda bheda tattva is not unknowable, it's just inconceivable. And if Krishna wants, we will have knowledge of that, or realization of that. These are some considerations. Let us go back to today's verse. So we're discussing about the sweetness of Krishna. So in this regard, it's explained that, I mentioned earlier that this from Lalita Madhava, when Krishna sees his own reflection, he thinks about Srimati Radharani, because he understands that it is only through Srimati Radharani that he can actually fully taste that sweetness. In other words, Krishna cannot taste his own sweetness to the full amount. And in order to do so, he has to take the position of the devotee. In the dealings between Radha and Krishna, it's explained that Srimati Radharani's love is 10 million times greater than Krishna's love for Srimati Radharani. So that imbalance is very obvious to Krishna. He can see it in Srimati Radharani. And he wants to taste that mellow. What is it about him that she experiences that makes her mad? I mean, she's mad and I'm mad, but she's 10 million times more mad than I am. What is it about me that makes her like that? I cannot understand it. How do I understand this? Therefore, it's explained at the very beginning of the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Shri Radhaya Pranaya Mahima Kidrusho Vanayaiva Svajo Yenad Bhutta Madhurima Kidrusho Vamadiyaha Saukhyam Chasya Madhanubhavataha Kidrusham Veti Lobat Tad Bhavajya Samajani Sachigarbha Sindhu Harinduhu. The Lord Krishna, he takes the mood of Srimati Radharani for three reasons: to experience the greatness of her love, the sweetness which she alone can taste through her love. The term used is anaya eva. Anaya means by her, and eva by her alone. The position of Srimati Radharani is unique, that she alone can taste it. And finally, the joy that she experiences through realization of that love. For these three reasons, Lord Krishna takes birth from the womb of Shachimata, Tadbhavajya, and has that mood of Srimati Radharani. Radhabhava Juti Suvalitam Naomi Krishna Swarupam. Therefore, we offer our obeisances to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is Krishna Swarup, and who has the bhava, the mood, and the juti complexion of Srimati Radharani. So the sweetness is there, and what's even more amazing is this: although she is the greatest taster of that sweetness, it's explained that the manjaris, they derive even more happiness from the Radha Krishna association than Radha herself enjoys. Now that is amazing as well. So that position of manjari, we can never take the position of Srimati Radharani, but the position of manjari, that is available to some jivas. Those that are constitutionally manjaris, they will ultimately become manjaris at some point. On one occasion, Revati Nandana Prabhu, no, is it? Revati Nandana Prabhu, I believe, Prabhupada disciple. He once asked Srila Prabhupada, he said, Srila Prabhupada, you have created this society and you're a devotee of Krishna and you've given us Krishna. Does that mean that we are all devotees of Krishna constitutionally? And Prabhupada said, not necessarily. So then Revati Nandana Prabhu said, does that mean some of us may be devotees of other forms of the Lord, like Sita Ram or Lakshmi Narayan? And Prabhupada said, yes. And then he said, are we to understand that if we follow the process that you've given, which is centered on Krishna, that we will awaken our love for the particular form of the Lord that we are attracted to? And Prabhupada said, yes. So he's making it very clear that even within our society, so many devotees. You may be a devotee of Lakshmi Narayan, devotee of Sita Ram, devotee of Radha Krishna. So many options. It's just whatever you are. But either way, if you follow the process as given by Srila Prabhupada, although it is focused on Radha Krishna, although Chaitanya Charitamrita is all about Radha Krishna, still, you will become purified. It's not that when you're a pure devotee, it's not that you have any distaste for any particular avatar. The devotees, they have prema for all avatars, but they have a particular inclination more towards one particular avatar. So through this process, we become purified, and whatever our nature is, it will become manifest. Nitya Siddha Krishna Prema Sajya Kabunai Shravanadi Shudachiti Koraye Hudaya Shishi Radha Gokulananda Ki Jai Shishi Siddharam Lakshman Hanumana Ki Jai Shishi Gonitai Ki Jai. Just by the process of Shravana and Kirtan, Shravanadi Shudachiti Koraye Hudaya, our natural inclination will be awakened. So going back to this discussion, the relationship between Krishna and Srimati Radharani and the gopis is all described very elaborately in the fourth chapter. And it explains what it is about Krishna's sweetness, because we're discussing here about Krishna's sweetness. It's interesting that the Chaitanya Charitamrita, it is all about Krishna's sweetness. If you do a word search, you type in Madhura or Madhurya. Actually, I typed it in yesterday, but I put a little asterisk. I put Madhur asterisk, which means any word that starts off with that. So Madhurya, Madhuri, Madhura, all these different words come up in the word search. So you'll find it appears about 60 times in Srimad Bhagavatam and 417 times in Chaitanya Charitamrita. So this means, I think it appears 11 times in this chapter, which is about Advaita Acharya. What to speak of chapter 4, it must appear many times there. So it's all about Krishna's Madhurya quality. Now, generally, by Madhurya, we mean sweetness, and we also mean the particular rasa, the conjugal rasa. It's referred to as Madhurya rasa. Now, the actual rasa is called Sringara rasa, but it's explained that the reason that we call the Sringara rasa the Madhurya rasa is because if we analyze all the rasas, the one that is objectively the most sweet is the conjugal ras, the Sringara ras. And therefore, we just call it the Madhurya ras. So that word has now become more prevalent than Sringara ras. But actually, it simply means the sweetness rasa. So that is considered the most sweet rasa. It's also referred to some places as the Adi rasa. Adi rasa, paro rasa, I think that's right. There's a statement in the Kurma Purana that of all the rasas, the Adi rasa is the greatest, the highest. So that rasa is referring to the conjugal rasa. So in this conjugal rasa, we have Radha Krishna Lila, and then the Manjaris, they are assisting Radharani, and they derive more pleasure in doing that than personally being with Krishna. And it's the same for Srimati Radharani. She derives more pleasure for arranging Krishna to meet with her Manjaris and Sakis than she derives herself. So in this way, there's a very selfless nature about the whole affair. it's described at Mendriya Priti Vanchi Taribolikam, Krishnendriya Priti Ichi Dori Premanam. That lust means satisfaction of one's own senses, and prema means satisfaction of Krishna's senses. Prema anda tama, Kama anda tama, prema nirmala bhaskara. Kama, or lust, is like the darkness of ignorance, and prema is like the bright sun. So they're very, very different. They're like lauha ar hema yaichi swarupi vilakshana. Just as iron and gold are different in quality fundamentally, in the same way, kama and prema are fundamentally different. Kama, although they appear the same, and sometimes the term kama is used in connection with the gopis, but that is just simply because it's the closest thing in this world to prema, the conjugal prema. There is no comparison, but if we are to make a comparison, it is like sexual attraction. That's the closest thing we can approximate it to. But we should always remember that it's like iron and gold. Iron and gold are, although they appear to be the same, I mean, to a child, there's no difference. Can't see which is of value. But when one is educated, one understands that gold is very valuable and iron isn't. Like if you leave a lump of iron in your back garden, it will be there tomorrow morning. You leave a lump of gold there, then you have problems. So gold is hoarded. It is kept in a safe. Iron, we live in the iron age. Everything is made of iron. No one cares. You don't take a chisel and go to a skyscraper. I'm going to get a bit of steel here. It contains some iron. It's of no value. So in the same way, in this material world, the sexual attraction ultimately has no value. And it is the acharyas over and over again, they compare it to the rubbing, the scratching of an itch. Kandu yanena karayoyar eva dukha dukham. Prahlad Maharaj says that yanmai tunadi grihamedi sukami tucham. The sexual attraction within household or life is tucha. It's very, very insignificant. So some people, they don't like to hear this because they base their life upon sex desire. And actually some people, they think that we're being very crude to compare love to the scratching of an itch. They say, well, it's more than that. It is an emotional thing. It is a spiritual thing. Well, maybe attain the platform of prema first, and then your vision will be correct. Right? As Yamunacharya, he says, he spits at the thought of sex desire. Yadavadi mama cheta krishna padaravindi nava nava rasa dhaman yujitam arantu masit tadavati bata narasangami smaryama manam bhavati mukavikara shushtu nishtivanangscha. Ever since my mind has become absorbed in the thought of Krishna's lotus feet, when I think of enjoying with a woman, I spit at the thought. He spits at the thought, not at the woman. Good point. You must remember this. In the old times, early days of ISKCON, there was a problem. The brahmacharis would spit whenever a woman walked past, a brahmacharini. So one devotee brought this to Prabhupada's attention, and Prabhupada said, first of all, become pure, then you can spit. You see, if you're full, they're spitting because they're recognizing the desire is within their heart and they're trying to fight that desire, right? But that is, Prabhupada said, first become pure, then you can spit. Actually, this spitting, it is described, it's like a rasa, it's in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. The spitting is the curling of the lip, and the spitting, it is an indication of disgust. This disgust is a type of prema. It's one of the secondary rasas. Now it's interesting, just to carry on from this, the secondary rasa of ghastliness is an enemy of the conjugal rasa. The two rasas do not go well together. It's rasa bas. But there is a verse in the Srimad Bhagavatam where Rukmini describes, roughly speaking, I can't remember exactly the translation, but she says, only one who has not smelt the fragrance of the lotus feet of Krishna will desire to marry a man whose body is composed of blood, pus, stool, urine, moustache, and everything else. So in this verse, the chariot is analyzed. This is two rasas are present in this verse. There is a conjugal attraction for Lord Sri Krishna, and there is ghastliness to the men of this world who are entrapped in material bodies. But in this case, there is no rasa bas, because one of the principles is if the object of ghastliness is different from the object of conjugal attraction, then the two rasas can simultaneously exist. The point being that if you cannot have feeling of ghastliness and conjugal love for Krishna, but you can have a feeling of ghastliness towards other men and conjugal attraction towards Krishna, and there is no contradiction. So Rupa Goswami, he's known as the Rasa Acharya, and it's said in Majjalila, I believe, Sri Rupa Dvara Vrajera Prema Rasa Lila. Through Rupa Goswami, the Supreme Personality of Godhead has revealed the Prema Ras of Vrindavan. That is his particular contribution. Because Mahaprabhu is very magnanimous, he likes to give credit to his devotees. So through Rupa Goswami, he reveals rasa. He's empowered. He actually begins the Rasamrita Sindhu by stating how Hridi Yasya Prerara Pravartitam Varako Rupopi. Although I'm very fallen, I have been given the power, the inspiration by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He's acknowledging where that comes from. It's also that pastime where Mahaprabhu was reciting a sloka, and in response, Rupa Goswami wrote a sloka describing its meaning. And the devotees were astonished. It was kept inside the thatch of the house, and Mahaprabhu saw the sloka, and Swarup Damodar, they were astonished. How is it possible that Rupa Goswami could understand the inner heart of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? And it's explained at this point, because he was empowered. Mahaprabhu empowered him. He gave him that shakti to understand the finer details of rasa. Therefore, we're talking here about how only through taking the mood of a devotee is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu able to taste rasa in full. And I was explaining how Srimati Radharani is the person that can do this in full. But her manjaris, they also understand Srimati Radharani, and they taste that. So therefore, the position of manjari is the position where the rasa is fully understood. So Rupa Goswami, in the spiritual world, she is Rupa Manjari, who is the chief manjari. Therefore, she knows all about rasa more so than anyone else, more so than the cowherd boys, more so than even the sakis. Because the sakis, they are not able to be part of the intimate pastimes of Radha and Krishna. But the manjaris, they can, because they are pre-pubescent. They have not reached puberty. Therefore, the sakis, they're not allowed access, you see. So even from the constitutional position, Rupa Goswami, Rupa Manjari, is the last word in rasa. She has complete access to everything. So it's through Rupa Goswami that the rasa is revealed. And there's also the statement, Haridasa Dvara Nama Mahatmya Prakash. Through Haridas Thakur, the glories of the holy name were revealed. And Sanatana Dvara Bhakti Siddhanta Vilas. And through Sanatana Goswami, the conclusions of devotional service were revealed. So the Lord is always giving potency to his associates. He left us eight verses, and the rest was all empowerment. The Goswamis writing so much literature. This is the nature of the Lord, and he likes to empower his devotees. So we as infinitesimal jivas, we have great opportunity, because we can take the position of Ashraya, the abode of love. And that position is so high that Krishna rasa mata hoiti bada bhaktapad. It makes us even greater than Krishna in Krishna's eyes. So that's our position. Therefore, we must take it. And if we don't take it, then we may have to go to the heavenly planets. And then we'll be there regretting that we missed our opportunity. And we will then be desiring to come back to this planet to take part in the Sankirtan movement of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So I will conclude the statement from the Bhagavad Gita. Purva Byasena Hriyati Yavaso. How does it go? Purva Byasena Tenaiva Hriyati Yavaso. That the when we come back, if we have performed devotional service in this life, then by that previous practice, automatically we become attracted to devotional service. So whether you blow it or not, it's up to you. It's your free will. But if you take this opportunity, then you'll go back to the spiritual world. And if you don't, then you will enjoy the heavenly planets and receive the reward of your devotional service. And then you'll come back, Shuchinam Srimatam Gehi, Yoga Brashta Vajayati, that the fallen yogi will then take birth either in a family of rich people or in a family of transcendentalists. And both these births are conducive for devotional service. But of the two, better to be born in a family of transcendentalists. If you're born in a family of wealthy people, you won't have to work hard for the basic necessities of life. But still, you may become bewildered by your opulence. On the other hand, if you're born in a family of devotees, whether they are rich or whether they are not rich, you will be given that training from birth, like Srila Prabhupada. And so Srila Prabhupada's father, his desire was what? His desire was, I want to make him a devotee of Srimati Radharani. And Srila Prabhupada's mother was like, no, we send him to England. He can become a great lawyer. He'll get some good training. Because they were aristocratic. They had connections. They could do these things. They could send him to a good university, get him qualified. They could send him to Oxford or Cambridge and so on. But they didn't. His father decided, no, I want him. He would rather invest in Mridanga lessons for a bye than send them off to Oxford or Cambridge or whatever to get a very good qualification and from which he could practice law or whatever. So this was the good fortune that Srila Prabhupada had that opportunity. And if we once again remind ourselves of this statement from the fifth canto, that even the demigods aspire to take birth in Bharatvarsha and take part in the Sankirtan movement, then if we consider what facilities do these demigods have, and would the demigods ever consider taking birth to go to Oxford or Cambridge for some degree in law in order to become recognized as a aristocratic person? Of course they wouldn't. So even higher than... And we see devotees, they run off, they leave, they like to leave devotional service to take up a career. They leave it for paltry sense gratification. They leave it to, when they go to university, prestigious university, and they become sidetracked. So we have to be very careful here. Demigods, they've got more intelligence and they understand. So we can conclude that our position is perfect, absolutely perfect. The only problem is we have a mind and senses, and they will tell us otherwise. See? So it's explained. I mean, it's like the beginning of Jiva Dharma. There's some explanation that of all places in the universe, this earthly planet is the best. And on this earthly planet, Bharatvarsha is the best. And in Bharatvarsha, the tract of land, Navadvip, is the best. And so on, so on. Like this. So we have the best of the best of the best. All good fortune to us. And here we are on the doorstep of great things, of reviving our constitutional position. And when we do so, even Maya Devi herself will offer obeisances to us. But if our mind and senses get the better of us, then we have to go to the heavenly planets, and then we'll be like the demigods, thinking to ourselves, it is so much so enjoyable here, I cannot concentrate on devotional service. And then we'll have to come back again. So it's round and round. We're on a roundabout. We have to be very careful. So we should be very eager to make this our last stop in this material world, and do so for the benefit of others. Because ultimately, we cannot maintain the position if we do it out for selfish reasons. We must develop the attitude. Bharati bhumati hoila manusha janmajar janmar sataka kori koro kori para upakara. One should devote one's life to para upakar, helping others. And through that selfless mood of helping others, then our position in devotional service will be protected and we will never fall down. Hare Krishna.